Happy to have you. I don't know if it's just me or not. That's a nervous way to start a sentence, right? I don't know if you feel this way as well, but life seems to have a lot of repeat in it. And at times, times like this time of year, for example, I feel like there's a lot of reference to the way things were done, like last year we did it this way, and kind of the subtle hint is, okay, this year we need to do it that same way. Or, you know, when the snow fell over the weekend, we thought about previous snows that we've had with our children, and Julie remembered pictures that she had taken, and so kind of a big focus was staging a picture yesterday that looked like pictures we took years ago, some of them even before Facebook was a thing. And so it kind of has a familiar ring to it. Each year, portions of life. And where I'm going with this is in the Bible. In the Bible, we read passages like I want us to read and study from this morning. Luke chapter 6, verses 43 and following. Luke chapter 6 has a familiar ring to it. And it doesn't matter how many times personally I take a look at the chapter, that there are some things that come right back to memory thinking about Luke chapter 6. And we've talked about Luke chapter 6 together. I certainly know we've talked about Matthew chapter 7 together. And once we get into these verses, you will see the very apparent similarity between Luke chapter 6 and Matthew chapter 7. And sometimes we make the same kind of points, which is a great thing to do, right? Because there's a lot of need to repeat. And sometimes we dig a little deeper into those points and maybe even occasionally make some points that are slightly different or tweaked a little bit so that they can make application to our current situations. But I love this passage, and I'm excited about reading it and studying it with you this morning. Luke chapter 6, let's begin in verse number 46 here. Jesus says, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Everyone who comes to me and hears my sayings," Jesus says, "I will show you whom he is like. He's like a man building a house," Jesus points out. And then Jesus goes through the process of this one building his house. He lays his foundation, and this foundation proves to be quite unshakable. His house is able to weather the storms that comes because of his foundation. Jesus builds to this grand conclusion, and this conclusion of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount has been dubbed as masterful. Jesus' Sermon on the Mount is itself an exquisite masterpiece. And this particular call to action where Jesus says, we're all here in life, we're building a house. You might not think about your life as being in those terms, building a house, but we are. We're building a place to live with our life. And spoiler alert, that place is not here. So Jesus leaves us with this wonderful encouragement and instruction and warning even. There's a tone of warning here when Jesus talks about the futility of building one's house on the sand. Jesus is encouraging us to really rally our forces together and live for him. In the verses that come before, Jesus gets us to this place by talking about a few things that are intriguing. Number one, Jesus talks about our fruit. He talks about what our fruit is. He likens our life to a few different things here in the passage. One, which we just saw, is builders building a house. Another is where Jesus says, the good tree brings forth good fruit, right? That's the way it works. It doesn't work the opposite of that. A good tree will not bear bad fruit. And so the thought exercise here is for us to acknowledge or think about what it is that our life is producing. What is your life producing? That's kind of a big question, right? And And maybe we need to spend some time thinking about that. If that question, what is your life producing, if that question is particularly scary to you, if you hear us talk about that question, what is your life producing, and you don't know, well, that's a warning sign, I would say. It's time to stop and maybe have a talk with yourself. That's an okay thing to do. And it's time to kind of figure out what is your life producing. Likely you're past the stage of dreaming about your life. You know, when we're young, we dream about what our life will be, and we dream about how we want our life to unfold. And it rarely goes according to those dreams, right? I mean, when we were young boys, in the backyard, we were going to grow up and be famous athletes, or when we were toddling around in the living room, we were going to be world-renowned entertainers. And now, you know, we're not those things. I'm not an old man, but where I am in life gives me a less blocked view of the end of things. When we're little, we have our whole life ahead of us, and we think about our extracurriculars, we think about our friends, we think about our college, we think about our families. And then when we get in that stage of life, we think about our families, we think about our careers, we think about our retirement, we think about our finances. And as we get a little older and a little older and a little older, all of the things that block our view of the end just kind of fall one by one. And here we are, you know, here we are, closer to the end than we've ever been before, and hopefully we can see it more clearly than we've ever been able to see it before. And we now think about, you know, what it's going to be like when we are there. As a minister, I have been around death and dying a lot, and that's not necessarily unique to me. We've all experienced somebody who has passed away and is not here anymore. So we have that point of reference, and we also know one day we're going to be there. And when we are there, man, I mean, when we are there, will we have wanted to have spent so much time worrying about what kind of car we drive? When we come to our eventual end, will it matter? Will it matter how popular we were? Will it matter how many likes or followers we had on Instagram or Facebook? Will it matter what kind of house we lived in? I've seen people in those moments as they're losing their hold on life, and eternity is rushing in, and their physical bodies are about to be cast off. They don't worry about those things. You know, they don't worry about those things. We want to make sure that we are living a life that helps us prepare for that moment, because it's that moment that's going to be all important. When we get to the end of our life, so many things will not have mattered. This is the time of year where fashion tips and diet tips, maybe not so much on the diet tips, that's coming in a few weeks, you know. But this is the time of year where there is a steady buzz about all of that stuff. And just imagine how much time you spend being exposed to that. Maybe here's a better way to think about it. Try to go a day without being exposed to any of these tips. Try to get on Facebook, try to get on the internet and not see somebody else's opinion about how you should be doing life. Somebody else's opinion about what would look good on you, or what is fashionable this season, or what you should be eating, or how you should be exercising, or how you should be getting along with people in your life, or on and on and on and on it goes. And think about all of that worry and all of that energy, all of that mileage, right? It's not mileage on a car like we're most accustomed to, but it's mileage on your soul. It's mileage on the inside of you. And Jesus literally, Matthew chapter 6, this will blow your mind, Jesus literally says, take no thought about what you're going to eat or what you're going to wear. This world has it all upside down. This world says, you gotta think about what you're gonna wear to the party. You gotta think about what you're gonna eat. You have to think about these things. And Jesus literally says, don't worry about that. Instead, worry about your soul that's going to be here so much longer than the next party or the next thing that is so consuming to our lives. Jesus says, don't take any thought to, you know, these other things. I mean, sure, we want to look good and take care of ourselves. I'm all for that sort of thing, right? I mean, who isn't? But it's the flipping of the priorities that just is mind-boggling. And right here in Luke chapter 6, I know I mentioned Matthew chapter 6 and Jesus' famous words there where he literally says, don't take any thought for these things, you know, what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, that kind of stuff. Here Jesus says, what is your life producing? You are known by your fruit. Luke chapter 6 verse 44. So what is that fruit? What is it? And if you don't know, ask around. Ask some people who are really, really close to you. What's my life producing? Maybe wait until after the holidays so they don't think you're weird and uninvite you to their parties. But ask. If you can't answer the question yourself, which you should be able to do, but maybe we're not there yet. Ask around, what is my life producing? What's my fruit? Because Jesus here, in Luke chapter 6, verse 44, Jesus is telling us that the fruit that we produce is very telling about what kind of life we're living. Your words, what are they? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, Ephesians 4, 29 encourages us to speak well and not bad. Ephesians 4, 29 encourages us to have good and wholesome and lovely communication. What about your thoughts? These make up who we are. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Philippians 4, 8, Paul says, finally, brethren, the things that are true, the things that are noble, the things that are just, pure, lovely, of good report, these are the things that you need to be thinking about. What's on your mind most of the time? What is on your mind most of the time? Write that down one of these days if you want to. Right? What do you think about most of the time? You may have to stop and think about what you think about most of the time. But what is it? You can get there. Jot that down. And then, beside it, write Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Just open your Bibles and copy that verse down and see how these two things add up. Maybe that will be a powerful visual for folks. Here on this side of the paper, here's what I've decided I think about most of the time. And here, over here on the left side of the paper, this is a quote from the Bible, Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. This is what I should be thinking about. This is what I am mostly thinking about, should be thinking about here. Here's what I mostly think about. There's a lot of space in between these two things. And how are we going to close that gap between what we think is important and what God says is important? You know what's really upside down is in Matthew chapter 6, the same passage where Jesus is talking to us about not being consumed, not being overly consumed pay attention to things, sure, that's healthy, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. But not being overly consumed with these things that are mundane and physical and passing away. In that same passage, Jesus talks to us about our soul. And this upside-down world says, on a daily basis nearly, oh, I'll think about my soul one of these days. When I get a little bit older, people tell me as a preacher this a whole lot, one of these days, I'll get back into church. Now I'm too busy thinking about what I'm going to eat and where I'm going to live and what clothes I'm going to wear. Those are literally the things Jesus says, calm down on. I'd like to borrow a thought that I shared a few Wednesdays ago, if I can quote myself. This is not original with me, so. If you went to the doctor tomorrow and you were told, you're dying, maybe 6 months, maybe a year. If you got that news tomorrow, what would change in your life? I imagine everything would change in your life. And I imagine if you got the news tomorrow that you're terminally ill, I imagine you wouldn't worry so much about making everybody happy this holiday season. That would be much, much, much less important to you. If you got the news tomorrow that you're terminally ill, you wouldn't worry so much about, should I change the kind of grass that I have in my yard? You know, my neighbor's got some really, 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 really nice grass, and his grass is different from my grass. Should I change that grass or not? I want my grass to kind of look like his. You wouldn't worry about that. If you found out tomorrow that you got 6 months, a year to live, you wouldn't worry about that. Those things would blissfully fade into the background of not caring. Well, I'm not a doctor, and this is not medical advice, but I've got news for you. You are terminally ill. Life is something that we don't get out of alive. Everybody is going to pass away. Everything is going to pass away. Now, I don't know when that will be. It might be 6 months. It might be the 1 year that we're talking about previously. Might be that time frame. Might not. Might be much, much shorter. Might be much longer still. But the outcome is the same. And so now what? I've given you the same news that we agreed would be life-changing if it comes from a doctor with a different time frame around it. I've given you that same news. You are not going to be here forever. And so now what? Now what's important about your life? Now what are some of the things that you can let fade back into the background of not caring about? The world says, here's what's important. Jesus says, here's what's important. And not surprisingly, those two things are opposites. The world says, wait a while to think about your soul and spirituality and your children. Wait a while. You don't have to do that now. Jesus says, whew, now, today is the day of salvation. Now's the time to think about these things. What's your life producing? What is your fruit? Who's first? Number two, this is a much quicker point. When I was a younger preacher, I would have entire sermons about Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. You know that famous passage, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things that we generally spend so much of our time worrying about and thinking about, all these things will be added to you. I would have whole sermons and multiples of sermons on Matthew 6:33. Now I just read it. now we just spend some quality time with these words. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. There's an overwhelming temptation in our life to think about all these things, put those ahead, and seeking first the kingdom of God, that's going to come last. That's going to come at the end of the week. That's going to come with our leftover dollars. That's going to come with our life when we're older and retired and don't have the energy or the spunk to give the Lord anymore. Then we'll give God those old, tired leftovers. That's the way a lot of people do things. I see it and you see it. Because all these things come first. And they're last in the verse, Matthew 6:33. First is God, His church, His way of life for us. Those things are first. And then in a very afterthought-y kind of way, God says all these things. He doesn't even take time to enumerate them. You know, we make lists and lists and lists. And God takes all of our mundane worries and just kind of lumps them together and says, I've got that taken care of. What you need to do is put Him first. And all that other stuff, it'll find a way to work out. Maybe not in the dream life scenario that you had as a kid. Probably not in the dream life scenario that you had as a kid. Very few people grow up to live their actual dreams as a child. But eventually, God is going to work out everything that's really important for us. It'll likely be in His way and not our own way, but hey, that works for me. Because God's way is so often better than anything we come up with. God will see us through this life. He will see us to heaven. And then, wow, everything will just be okay. Better than okay. Everything will be wonderful because we've put Him first. How about your foundation? We started here, we'll end here. Luke chapter 6, verse 46 and following, Jesus asks a very thought-provoking question. Why do we call Him Lord if we don't do the things that He says? Why? I have a question for you this morning. Why are you here today? Why are you here right now? You might be asking yourself, why am I here right now? Why are you here right now? Our being here is a form of calling Jesus Lord, Lord. We're here today to pay respects to God, to think about the Lord, to think about His sacrifice as we've done recently now with taking the Lord's Supper, to think about His Word. We are here, and our being here is kind of a physical expression of Lord, Lord. So, our being here means that we should do the things that Jesus says. It doesn't do any good just to come in, take a seat, get out a Bible or a hymnal. We have to follow through with the actions after we leave. Jesus says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say?" And then He likens that situation, calling Him Lord, Lord, and not doing the things that He says, He likens that situation to a man who builds his house on the sand. And that man who builds his house on the sand suffered loss, Luke 6, verse 49. By contrast, Jesus encourages us to build our house, which is our life, on the foundation of His Word. You can do that this morning. You can dig deep and build on that rock-solid foundation, which is for us today the Word of God. You can do that by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized. Many of you know all about those steps, and that's wonderful. For those who may not, that is God's plan of salvation: hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized. And one of these days, that plan of salvation will be the most important thing, period. I hope it's important to you right now, that plan of salvation: hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized. Because I promise you, one day, that will be the only thing that matters. And I hope it's important enough to you today to spend some serious time thinking about it. Many have already obeyed that plan of salvation. Fantastic. I love that. I really, really do. If you have already obeyed that plan of salvation, understand, it ain't over. We're still building that house. We still need to make sure that we're doing it right. We're still looking at the fruit of our life and who and what we're putting first. We still have all of these things to think about. But if you have heard, believed, repented, confessed, and been baptized, you have come so far and done so much, and we're proud of you. Keep on going. Keep on going. If you have not heard, believed, repented, confessed, and been baptized, we would love to see you do that right now. If you are only just beginning thinking about this and studying this, you're not there yet, that's understandable. We would love an opportunity to study with you, to show you from the Bible how this is what God wants you to do. Maybe you're ready to do it. Maybe you're ready to do it right now. If that's the case, we invite you to come with whatever need you may have right now while we stand and sing.
Thank you for listening to the Augusta Road Church of Christ. Located in Greenville, South Carolina, the Augusta Road Congregation worships God in spirit and in truth in a friendly and loving environment. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter by searching for Augusta Road COC. And if you're ever in Greenville, South Carolina, we would love for you to come by for a visit.